Many of us would rather stick pins in our eyes than wade through financial reports and the formerly boring world of banking. No more. Jobs and expectations are melting like ice cream in the sun. It looks like our savings and pensions could go next. To enter this distant world of high finance, we are joined by a well-known writer from the inside, a sane voice who has helped me understand. It's Ilargi from The Automatic Earth at blogspot.com. Welcome to Radio EcoShock.
All right.
There have been so many jaw-dropping financial news. The big giants turn out to be midgets without money sometimes. You seem to digest this into a focus. How do you cope?
I recently got an address from a company close to where I live that makes cheap wine. Cheap but good wine.
Well, we'll keep that in mind as one solution. Well, let me ask you a more direct question. Do you think there has been a financial coup of the United States government?
If that is so, then that goes back a long time. There has not been a recent coup of the United States government.
We've had banking families for a long time, and these are the same people, you feel?
Well, you know, you're getting into... I forbid people in the comment section of my website to talk about 9/11. Because there's no solution, there's no resolution to this kind of stuff. There's a lot of theories, a lot of whatever. But you're never going to get anywhere. There's always going to be two people saying, I believe this, and the other says, I believe that. And we should go beyond what we believe. We should like focus on what we know. It's hard enough as it is. And in finance, I think it's the same thing. You know, you can point to 1913 when the Federal Reserve was founded. You know, which is a thing that's surrounded by a lot of secrets and mystery and Jekyll Island and that kind of stuff. Or you can point to 1971 when Nixon got the U.S. of the gold standard. You know, which allowed the U.S. to print as much fiat paper money as they wanted. Those things are not recent. From your question, I would think that you are referring to something more recent.
Well, I think I'm generally agreeing with you, though, because it seems like, every time there's a Warren Commission or some kind of investigation, it never goes anywhere. The right people cover up the right things if they have to. So what should we be talking about when we're looking at this economic mess? What comes to the top of the heap in your perspective?
The first thing that pops into my mind is Obama's promise of transparency of government during his election campaign, which is not being fulfilled at all. I think that is very important because, you know, in times of plenty, when everybody's happy with their bread and circuses, those things are not so important. But when people get poorer, they want to know why they get poorer. You know, they, at a certain point, they demand to know. And I think they have a right to know when the government hands out trillions of dollars of taxpayers' money to banks. The people have a right to know why that is done and how it is done and who gets what and why they get it. And that is not happening at all.
No, it's not.
It's completely opaque, the whole thing.
Well, it's so opaque. I mean, just take this one little thing about derivatives. The controller of the currencies reported that the American banks have $200 trillion, that's with a T, trillion, in derivatives, and yet the whole world production is about $50 trillion, they figure, annually. It just seems like an insane fantasy to be talking about trillions or even quadrillions of dollars of wealth in this situation. How do you make sense of that?
The official word from the financial industry is that derivatives are zero-sum bets. You know, there's one loser and one winner, so you know there's nothing being destroyed or created. It's just like one guy loses and the other guy wins. But as we have been saying on our site for a long time, that is not completely true, because at a certain point you're going to have a party that cannot pay up if it loses a bet. And derivatives are just bets. You know, they're wagers. It's gambling. And that's all it is. I mean, AIG calls it insurance, but the difference between insurance and bets is very narrow. It's a very thin edge. If one big party like AIG, and this is probably the reason why AIG has already gotten $200 billion in U.S. taxpayer money, if they cannot pay up anymore, then the whole derivatives world is so interconnected, like everybody got a bet with his neighbor and his neighbor and his neighbor and his neighbor and his neighbor. And if one of those neighbors goes bankrupt, then the whole thing starts falling down. because there's neighbors all over the place who are losing bets. You know what I mean? Like this whole thing is such a complex web of bets that it's not realistic to say that this stuff will all even out in the end. There'll be a big party that falls out of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets dangerous. There are people who say that only 2% will go wrong, but 2% of a quadrillion dollars is $10 trillion.
That's big money, isn't it?
And I think it'll be at least 10%, and then you're talking about $100 trillion.
Well, it's mostly involving just five big American banks. I mean, they have about $200 trillion, according to this report. Anyway, if you had to pick a problem other than that might destabilize our stock markets or maybe even cause a panic, what would that be? Is there some signal that we should be watching for, in your opinion?
Well, there's a rally. There has been a sort of a rally recently. And I was reading Bill Bonner today, who has a website called Daily Reckoning, and he was saying that the only thing that means is there's still a lot of suckers out there who need to be bled, or something like that, right? You know, people want to believe that'll all be all right. You know, the Obama administration talks about green shoots that's nice spring language and that kind of stuff, but nothing has been solved. I mean, Wells Fargo last week announces a $3 billion profit. Well, I can give you a $3 billion profit 2 months after you give me $25 billion. I can do that, and you can do that too, Alex. That's no problem. But nothing structurally has changed. The only thing that has changed is that a lot of your money has been given to all these financial institutions, and a lot of them will have great numbers.
Well, they've been making some money somehow, but meanwhile, we've got a few million people are going to lose their homes and a lot of big problems for the people at the street level. That's what makes it so hard to figure out, is as soon as a big corporation announces they're firing 10,000 people, their stocks go up. So the stocks actually reflect hardship in the average person.
That's how the system works, man. That's how the system works.
What? But eventually, the most profitable company would be one that has no employees at all, using that logic.
Yeah. No, exactly, yeah. If GM fires another 100,000 people, then, hey, we're doing better. For a lot of companies, salaries are a big cost factor. But in the end, of course, you're not going to make any products anymore or provide any services anymore.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the United States, which really is the most responsible, along with those London brokers and bankers, for this mess. But what about the rest of the world? Will they go down as badly, and will they go quietly?
Will they go down as badly? Most of them will, yeah. Will they go quietly? No, they will not. I don't see any quietness in there.
What do you see happening?
We will see it when it happens, and then they want to get into like conspiracy theory stuff or panic mongering or something. But you know, if you have read a bit about the human mind and the human spirit and how people react to being deprived of what they think is that they are entitled to, then I don't think it's a very beautiful future, no.
When we spoke just a little bit earlier, you were telling me about the purpose of your writing and how that differs from other blogs that might be out there on the net. Would you explain that to us again?
Well, what I was saying is the Automatic Earth, I guess you could call it a finance blog or an economics blog or both or whatever. Most popular finance blogs out there are run by people who come from the finance industry. I'm not saying that I'm not from the finance industry. I'm just saying that I keep that hidden. They're run by people from the finance industry, and most of the visitors are people who are investors and who visit because they want a stock tip or an investment tip. Whereas what Stone Lee and me do at the Automatic Earth is try and give people the information that will enable them to not lose money instead of gain money. Because I think a lot of people, we're in North America here, but the same thing happens in Europe, are going to lose a lot of the things that they thought they possessed. You know, if you look at what's happening to pension funds worldwide, that is a drama. That is so dramatic. you have a home and it loses 40-50% of its value, I mean, certainly in these days, and it'll be at least 80% before this whole thing bottoms, that homes in North America and in Western Europe are going to lose in value, between brackets. And your pension funds, well, forget about ever getting a pension if you're under 50. It's not going to happen. So you have the loss of wealth and the loss of entitlement, and it'll be very dramatic for a lot of people.
What should we poor people do about this, if anything? Is there some way to prepare personally, do you think, for a possible meltdown of the economy?
Keep everything you still owe as close to yourself as possible, and that is not just about money, that's about people as well. You know, people are social animals, and the age of the nuclear family has tried to change that completely, where you have like a man and a woman, two kids per house, and on streets and streets and streets. We will need to live much closer to each other, which is good, because, you know, it's a character we have. We're social animals. We're lions. We're not tigers. We're not solitary animals. But it'll be a lot of adapting, because, you know, we've gone through 50 years, where at least 50 years, where not only has the population, world population, grown enormously, but each individual also needs, between brackets, a lot more space for himself. The houses have gone much bigger, the rooms have gotten much bigger at the same time when the population grows. So we cover so much more of the Earth's surface right now just for us. And that's all going to have to change. We won't be able to heat it anymore.
It's hard to eat from the pavement. Yeah. Well, as we're wrapping up here, is there something else you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Be good. Be cautious and keep on reading the Automatic Earth.
Okay. Well, this is Alex Smith in a special Radio EcoShock report on our economic crisis. We've been talking with a source that I trust. I read this every day. It's Ilargi from the Automatic Earth at blogspot.com. You can find links to some of the stories we've discussed this week in my blog entry for April 16th, 2009 at ecoshock.org. Thank you so much for being with me.
You're welcome, man.